We are straight up at 8 o'clock. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the program. We've been discussing climate change all morning. We'll be doing so throughout the entire month of June. Climate change is already happening. Temperatures are rising. Drought and wildfires are starting to occur a lot more frequently. Rainfall patterns are shifting and glaciers and snow are melting. And the global mean sea level is rising. Joining us for the conversation this morning are Ayn Krayshan, environmental activist who, if the name sounds familiar, she successfully advocated for the city of Irvine's historic landscaping policy, and that brought an end to Irvine's use of pesticides. We'll talk to her about that. We're also talking to Dr. Kathleen Treseder, PhD, who's a professor of biology at the University of California, Irvine. For over 30 years, she's led an internationally recognized research program, and she's educated the next generation of scientists. And both of them are often cited national environmental ecologists. We welcome them. And by the way, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, a Zoom presentation. I'll give you the information on how to find them tomorrow night on the Zoom presentation. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
Delighted to have
you here.
Thank you. Delighted to have you here. Thank you. An important conversation I'd love to have with you. And I want to talk about climate change generally now. Most of the world agrees it's a danger, but how do we conquer it, and what's holding us back?
Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing that we've got to do is reduce our production of greenhouse gases. I mean, that's by far the factor that is most causing climate change, and it is possible. It's entirely possible for us to do this.
Okay, and the problem with greenhouse gases is that it's far harder to manage and regulate. Is that the the pedestrian response, or the pedestrian question? I guess.
Yeah. It's that we use gasoline, methane, coal, all these fossil fuels in so many parts of our daily life. It has been hard to take all of those out all at once, but we can. We can do it.
Okay.
And to answer your question as far as what's it going to take and what's it lacking, what we really need is the political will to do it. The UN and the IPCC has said that it's absolutely possible and affordable to create the kinds of solutions that we need, but what we need is for people to demand those solutions.
Okay. Well, in part of that, we're asking really poor countries who are really worried about where their next meal is coming from to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to benefit the rest of the world. And that's kind of a tough ask. How do we incentivize clean energy for developing countries?
Well, one of the things that we could do is help the developing countries leapfrog into the next generation technologies. So one of the ideas is, you know, California is a great, place to develop these new technologies. And if developed countries are willing to share those technologies with developing countries, that can help them skip a lot of these steps that we have taken that are so painful, adding fossil fuels to the atmosphere.
Okay. And I trust that neither of you believes that we're already too late to affect real change?
No, there is a lot we can do, but we are in a very narrow window here where, in according to the latest research, we might have only just the next 9 years or less to make the changes that we need to avert really catastrophic impacts. And so that's why we really have to take action now, and we can't delay anymore.
Okay. Do me a favor. Explain to our listeners the dangers of fluorinated gases.
Kathleen, I'm going to let you take that one.
Yeah. So fluorinated gases can go up into way, way, way up into the atmosphere, into the stratosphere, and break down ozone. And so in the past, that has been, you know, really a huge concern because we need that ozone layer up there to block UV rays from the sun. That keeps us from getting cancer. So those fluorinated gases can really be a problem there.
Okay. Okay. And I want to bring the problem a little more locally, if possible. And our first and biggest threat to Laguna Beach, wildfires. If you can, for a moment, talk to us about the change in rainfall amounts in just the period since the 93 wildfires. And are rainfall projections even more dire in the coming 25 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a really severe drought within the last decade. That drought lasted 4 years. We can look into the records of droughts in California for the last 500 years. This is the most severe drought in that time. That is caused by climate change, and we can expect more of those, if not worse. And we are heading into another drought period, so it is a concern.
Okay. And, Ayn, I want to talk specifically about the legislation you were able to bring forward in Irvine as far as really reshaping their landscape policy, which brought an end to their use of pesticides. This happened because you discovered three children in a 1,700 family community suffered from a rare form of brain cancer. Can you explain that to us?
Well, yeah, I live in a neighborhood in Irvine called Quail Hill, and I, over the course of several years, it wasn't all at once, but I came to know three different families just on my block or friends I met at school who all had different forms, actually, of brain cancers. But brain cancer is very unusual, and so it was very, you know, striking and troubling to see. And so, and then I had some health issues of my own, and so I decided to work on the issue in my own homeowners association and got them to stop. And then I got connected with a group of moms and other parents who decided to work on the issue at the school district level. And then we decided, well, while we're at it, why not take on the city too? Because the city parks are right next to the school fields. And so we decided to do it all at once. And so it was a group of people, but fortunately we had science on our side. And in that case, science won the day. And so it really gave me what I say is the fever for the flavor of the local policy, because I got to see how getting a local policy implemented can really have a positive effect on people's lives. And it's so much easier to get a local policy passed than it is a national policy. And so that's why I'm so passionate about getting local impactful policies implemented at the city level. And I have seen myself what an impact that can make on people's lives.
Excellent. And staying local for a second, recently Laguna Beach has prohibited the use of rat poison on city lands and properties. What would you do? What are the steps necessary to ban it citywide?
Well, that's news to me that they were banning it in Laguna Beach. But there are a lot of things that folks can do in terms of reducing rodent populations, and that's things like closing food or waste containers, you know, trash cans, making sure that rodents can't get into waste areas, and then also doing things like not putting out pet food and bird seed and things like that, because rodents love all that. So actually there is a statewide ban was implemented last year. And so that might be a part of what was, in the mind of the folks who did that. But yeah, the problem with rodenticides or rat poisons is that they are taken into the bodies of the rodents, and then that the predators like owls and hawks and all these animals that we love that help keep the rodent populations down, then eat the bodies of the dead rodents who are just laying out in the middle of the road, and then they get poisoned and die. And so it's a terrible cycle, kind of, that can take place when they do that. So exciting. It's great that Laguna Beach is open to these kinds of progressive policies. And on the city level, in terms of climate, we can take it back to the climate conversation and just note that cities account for less than 2% of the Earth's surface, but they consume 78% of the world's energy and produce more than 60% of greenhouse gas emissions. And there's a lot that the city can do on climate, too.
Right. So let's talk about the oceans for just a second here and stay within the city. This next weekend, this Saturday, a big portion of the kayakers and paddleboarders here in the city are getting together, and we're all going to be out there cleaning the kelp forests as much as we can. And if you ever get out on a kayak on the ocean, you know that it's a lot of plastics. It's horrible out there. The Laguna Beach coastline is protected by almost 6 miles of state marine reserve and an additional mile and a quarter of state conservation area. Should that be expanded, and is it currently being enforced as vigorously as it should?
I do not have expertise in that area. In general, I'm in favor of more conservation, but I do not want to speak specifically to Laguna Beach circumstances without knowing more about it. Ayn, how about you?
I have to say that's not my area of expertise either. Of course, plastics are a huge problem, and I know that there have been efforts to get them cleaned up there in Laguna Beach, but I'm not sure about that issue.
Okay, fair enough. Let's get back to CO2 worldwide for a second. So if I release a ton of CO2 here in Southern California or across the ocean in London, it does the same amount of damage to the globe. If you contrast that with local pollutants, where if I release a ton of sulfur dioxide or nitrogen oxide here in Laguna, a majority of the damage stays here near Laguna. So back to the CO2 problem. Is the problem that it's harder to manage and regulate?
Yeah, you pointed out the global consequences of, you know, driving to the store with a gasoline fuel car really, really reach wide. And so that does make it hard to really put the responsibility on the people who are creating the greenhouse gases. That is for sure. It's a very different feeling if you're breathing your own smog that you're creating. And so that is one of the issues. And what I really appreciate, though, is the city councils in Orange County do understand this. And many of those that are really working to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions are thinking about people around the globe as they do that.
Okay. Speaking of greenhouse gases, the Greenland and Antarctic ice sheets have decreased in mass. And data shows that recovery and climate experiments show that Greenland has lost an average of 279 billion tons of ice per year between 1993 and this year. Is that reversible?
Yeah, I mean, everything is reversible right now. If we stop our greenhouse gas emissions, it will take a century or more or so for the temperature to start going back down, but it will happen. And when the temperatures do go back down, we will see rebuilding of those ice sheets. So there's hope.
Okay. All right. I love closing on hope here. As a listener, let's say somebody's driving around. Let's say someone's driving to work in their car right now. What can the average person do on a daily basis, if not to help, but certainly not hurt the environment?
Well, I would say one of the main things they can do is to get engaged and to sort of become part of the movement that's asking for the big systemic changes that we need, because we are beyond the point of talking about individual impacts. It's great to drive an electric vehicle if you can. It's really great to walk less and bike more and consume less energy. But we need, for example, the city of Laguna Beach to join a community choice energy program, which will put the city on the fast track to 100% clean energy. The city can also adopt a climate action plan, which would address all of the emissions in the city. And if they can adopt one that's legally binding and has specific implementation plan, those have been shown to really drastically reduce the emissions in a city. And that's something that an individual resident of the city of Laguna Beach or any city can impact at their city council. If they go and ask for it, and if they're persistent, then it's something they can have an impact on, much more so than anything they'll ever recycle or, you know, stopping air travel or anything like that. Though those things are important, we need these big systemic changes, and would love for every person in Laguna Beach to be a part of that.
Excellent. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night's presentation. You have a Zoom presentation tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It's free, but listeners have to register to be part of it. Go to thelbdems.com. Once again, that's thelbdems.com for tomorrow night's 7 o'clock Zoom presentation. Kathleen Treseder, is there a way that we can get in touch with you outside of this? Do you have a website or something?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'm running for Irvine City Council, and I would love to hear. Thank you. Yeah, I want to get to City Hall and push for all of these climate actions. And so if people want to know more about it, you can just Google my name. It's KathleenTreseder.com. Thank you.
Beautiful. And Ayn?
Well, I'm a policy advocate with Climate Action Campaign now, and so if folks want to get updates on what's going on in Orange County or action alerts on how they can help, they can go to climateactioncampaign.org, and sign up for the Orange County updates, and then they'll hear when there's something big that they can be a part of here in Orange County.
Beautiful. Now, at some point, maybe at the end of the summer, we can come back for a climate update, and we can have you both live here in studio. Maybe that would be a possible cool conversation to have.
Absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'd love to have it. Ayn Krayshan and Dr. Kathleen Treseder, thank you so much for your time with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank
and we'll see you at the Zoom presentation tomorrow.
Awesome.
Definitely. Bye.
It's the Mornings with Ed Show, 8:17 the time.